as we consider the gifts of God and learning and knowing Christ through Scripture, I invite you to hear the words this day from Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 7. Hear now the word of the Lord. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. The word of God for us, the people of God. And so today we continue our sermon series, Finding Joy, as we explore Paul's letter to the Philippians, to the church there in Philippi. And we're finding that the word joy and rejoice is resounding throughout this letter as he speaks of it time and time again, which is so ironic since he is sitting in prison as he writes this. And he begins in chapter 3, opening it up, calling the Christians once again to rejoice in the Lord. And then he continues on, and we make our way to verse 7, where he starts with this imagery actually from accounting, this sense of income, expense, credit, and debit. And he starts to talk about the things that he is willing to put to the side. In verse 7, he says all of these things, and all of these things he's describing is everything he just said from verses 2 through 6. And so he is talking about the fact that he was circumcised on the eighth day, as is proper, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, that he is a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee by training. He was a zealot in passion, in persecution of the church. He had all of these things that could go on his credit side that gave him status before people. They gave him status before others. All the things that mattered to him and in his society and in his place. It's like Paul walking up and saying, look, I started a business and now it's four times its valuation. You know what? I sold that and then I moved from my Pinto to a Jaguar and then I've bought five homes in the last 3 years and I've got all of these great things happening and people can look and see how amazingly successful I am. Except none of the things that I'm looking at are really that important relative to who Christ is. When suddenly we put things in the light of Christ, suddenly everything begins to move into the debit column. Suddenly everything doesn't matter. It's as garbage in relationship to the gift that we have in Christ Jesus. It's some creative accounting that he's doing as he's thinking through his life and where he's at. And yet he's beginning to recognize the importance of what he now has for him. He wants to know Christ. It's one of the very first things he says in verse 8, I want to know Christ. Now we know in Scripture that knowing God is a little bit different than knowing, as we oftentimes talk about, we know about learning new things in science. There's all sorts of amazing things that science is learning every day, and it is awe-inspiring what it is that they are learning. And there's amazing the things that we can learn in mathematics if we sit down and study that. There's all sorts of things that we can learn each and every day about the world around us and about medicine, about things and impact upon our lives and those whom we love. There's all sorts of great things that we can know. But simply because we know them doesn't mean that we go home at the end of the day and we have a different way of life than when we began. But to know God is different. The knowledge of God makes a claim on our life. To know God is to know a calling upon you. To know God, and not simply know about God, but to know God is to enter into a relationship that transforms you. And this is why Paul says, I don't simply want to know Christ Jesus, I want to know him as Lord. There's a whole different way, a greater depth of knowing. This Lord who has saved the world and is transforming our lives from the inside out. This is what Paul wants to know. And he begins to see how this plays out in his life. When he knows Christ as his Savior, when his life begins to be transformed, suddenly we find that his life begins to move into the likeness of Christ itself. In chapter 2, he had just gone through the kenotic hymn, the hymn Pastor Jen talked about last week, where it is said that Christ himself, the Son of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. He didn't consider all the privileges of equality with God something to be exploited. Rather, he gave them up. And so Paul here is saying in the same way, I have all of these things that give me status, all of these things that are important in my culture, but I will not exploit a single one of them in my relationship with you, Christians in Philippi. I'm not going to exploit anything that is mine. I'm going to cast it all aside and claim only Christ. And he moves even further. He says not only that he wants to know Christ as Lord, that he wants to be found in Christ. It's one of these interesting images we find in Scripture as we move our way through it, that not only are we called to invite Christ in our lives, but we find ourselves in Christ. There's this deep relationship there. And what Paul is doing is he's pulling even more from that hymn that he spoke of in chapter 2, where he said that not only was Christ giving up and not exploiting his equality with God, but that he would become and be found in human form. And in the exact same way, Paul uses the same language where he says he is to be found in Christ. Just as Christ came and be found in human form in the incarnation, so we now are called to be found in Christ. And so we see Paul beginning to unfold the pattern, the likeness of Christ in his own life, as he discovers what it means to live as Christ, as Lord in him. He knows the power of God. And so he says it's not only in verse 10. He says not only does he want to know Christ and that relationship, he wants to know the power of that relationship. He wants to know the power of the resurrection. And this is something that Paul comes back to time and again in his writings. He comes back to it and it says, you know, the very power of God revealed in Christ's resurrection is the very power of God available for each one of us. If we struggle in faithfulness with God, if we stumble time and again, there is power available for you, the very power of God that raised Christ from the dead is the very power of God available for you. Because God loves you. And he wants you to know the life that he has called you to, a life of freedom and joy. And so he gives you his own spirit to make that happen. Of course, Paul doesn't stop there. He continues on. This is the part that we have difficulty with sometimes, is he says not only that we are given the power of Christ's resurrection, but then he says we are called to participate in his death. And oftentimes, that's the language that we have a hard time with as Christians. We want the power. We just don't want to pick up our cross daily. And yet that's what Jesus taught his disciples. He said, you must take up your cross every single day. And for the reason of that, I suspect, is the same thing we find in so many of us in our experience every day. How oftentimes, how easy it is for us to take the things of this world and put them into the credit column. To say, why am I important? What is most important in the world and in my life? And it's these things here that we can see and touch and taste. And yet we are told time and again that if we make these most important, it begins to distort our relationship with them. Money is one thing, but the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. things are blessings until we begin to love them in ways that distorts their blessing in our life. And so we are called by Paul, and we are called by Christ, we're called in Scripture to take up our cross every single day, to take these things that so easily become so important in our life, and we move them from the credit column to the debit column. We say they're no longer the things that are going to define who I am and my status in this world. I am most and first and foremost a child of God. I have been saved by Christ Jesus. That is who I am. What I have in my status is ultimately a gift. He counters, he gives this contrast between his life under the law, where he was seeking to live it out faithfully so that he could say how important he was. And he contrasts that by saying, you know what? There's a life where righteousness comes from God, not from what he's doing, what Paul is doing in his life, but from God as a gift. That righteousness which is a right relationship with God, where we begin to trust not in ourselves and all that we've done, but we trust instead on what Christ has done and what he's done for us and on our behalf. When we begin to set aside all the work and the ways of self-justification, and we begin to say, this is a gift, this new life we have with God, it is a gift that only comes from God through Christ Jesus. And we can know this gift. We can experience this gift. He can be alive in me and I in him, solely because of God's love for me. And all I need is to trust, to have faith that Christ is sufficient. To put aside all the ways I try to earn my standing before God and receive it as gift. And once I do that, it begins to transform the way I relate to all the things and all the people in my life. Suddenly, they're no longer the source of my joy. They're no longer on the credit column as to my status. Instead, I can begin to see them in a whole new way. Earlier this week, I was talking with someone about this message and thinking through it, and she said, you know, years ago, my husband told me something very important. He said, I am not the source of your joy, because I'm going to let you down too many times. Don't rely on me for your joy. You can rely on me to love you faithfully. I will love you every day faithfully, but don't rely on me for your joy. You need to rely on the Lord for your joy. And I thought how important that is. That when we place Christ front and center in our life, when we make him in the credit column and only him, that we can begin to see everyone else in our life as who they are. They are children of God, gifts from God. We can begin to relate them in a way that does not distort that blessing, but rather receives it with thanksgiving. And so in that way, we begin to find joy in a powerful way because we are living life the way God has called us to. And that is what Paul desires for the Christians in Philippi, and this is what God desires for you. To know the power of his love, to take up your cross daily. Because when we give up everything for Christ, we find that we receive all in return, but as it should be, as blessing, as gift, as reason to give thanks. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for your amazing love, for your gift that you pour into our lives in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we give you thanks for the knowledge that we have of him, of the risen, living Christ for our life. Lord, we thank you that he is alive not only in us, but we have the privilege of being alive in him. And Lord, may we give each and every day to you. May you be first and foremost and last in all things in our life. that we may receive all things as they are, gift from you. For it is in the name of Christ that we pray. Amen.